In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the parable today, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of very intricate theology. It's a parable that has multiple meanings, as most parables do. And if you read the scriptures often and you read commentaries of the fathers, you could understand the meanings of such things as the vineyard and the wine press and the tower, the husbandman, going into a far country. All these things have meaning. But the most important meaning is simple. And that is, after he describes the building of the vineyard and the householder, who of course is God, he says, when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. Now the vineyard is our soul. And we are to be fruitful in our soul. This is a call for us to be fruitful. We are baptized in order to become holy, to be fruitful. And so there is a time when the time of the fruit is near. Now, for a Christian, that is many, many times and the last time. So this is describing our life in general, but also the final judgment, when we are responsible for whether or not we have borne fruit. Most of you have heard from me, but some have not, what I think the greatest heresy of the age is. And it's related to this basic command. This parable is told as a story, but this is a command. You are to bear fruit. You are to live as Christians. You are to follow the commandments. You are to be holy as the Heavenly Father is holy. This greatest heresy is that we can have salvation without labor and now without truth. It's changed. It's kind of morphed into something else. For many, many years, a couple hundred, 300 years, there is the idea that you can have salvation without labor. But there was still morality, even while people were saying such things, that you could have salvation by faith alone, as if St. James wasn't worth anything and didn't say anything worthwhile when he said you must have faith and works. But now we have degraded so much as a society that we have people that believe that there is salvation with faith, but with no works and no morality. You can have your morality be what you want, and if you believe in that, then that is fine. We see this. You know, you hear it on the radio. You hear people talking about it at work. We now are in a society where everything is relative. But Christianity is not relative. Christianity is about a person. Or persons, actually, us and Jesus Christ. There's nothing relative about that. You're not relative. You're a discrete human being with a soul and a body. And God knows you and numbers the hairs on your head. And Jesus Christ died for you. There's nothing relative about that at all. And he taught us how to live. There's nothing relative about that either. Now, what the world says is that it's relative. But the truth is that it's very exact. We are to be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy. We are born to know God and know him intimately. And what gets in the way of us knowing him intimately is our sins. We just had a baptism. And really, I guess, every time after a baptism when I speak, it is the same basic theme. Baptism is the beginning. And it enables us to become holy. But now there must be the business of living and becoming holy, the business of bearing fruit. And that's what this parable speaks of, when the time of the fruit grew near. Now, of course, there are details in this parable that are about the Jews rejecting Christ and such, because the husbandmen that rejected those that came to bear to get the fruits were the Jews who killed the prophets throughout the ages, because many, many prophets died. Being a prophet was not a really good job, because most of them were persecuted and most of them died as martyrs. Only a very few died in their old age. So this parable is calling you to bear fruit. And I would ask you, are you bearing fruit? Of course, you have to know what fruit is first. Now, the world thinks fruit is a good job and marry well and to, you know, have a nice house and to good education, etc., etc. Your children to be successful. That's good fruit to the world. What's good fruit to a Christian? Do you know? If you're not sure, then you must read the Gospels more, because it's right there in the Gospels, on every page of the Gospels. Actually, it's on every page of the Bible. Genesis, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, the Psalms, Wisdom of Solomon. You pick any book of the Bible, and this idea of what the purpose of life is and what bearing fruit is present, because every part of the Bible is about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came that we might fulfill our destiny, our purpose. So the bearing of fruit is to have love, humility, kindness, peacefulness. A good description would be from the Beatitudes, which we sing every Sunday liturgy, or almost every Sunday liturgy. To be poor in spirit, to mourn for our sins, to be meek, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to be merciful, to be pure in heart, to be peacemakers, and to be persecuted for the faith. This is the bearing of fruit. And you should ask yourself, am I doing this? Or am I just living my life? I go to work. Sometimes work is a real long time. Sometimes traffic's hard. I'm tired when I get home. I watch some TV. I'm a little cranky. I got to do the laundry. I go to bed. I haven't said my prayers. Was that a productive day? You're for the bearing of fruit. That's the purpose why you became a Christian. That's the purpose why God, Jesus Christ, the God-man, died for you, so that you'd bear fruit. Now, terrible things happened to the ones that did not bear fruit in this parable. And then at the end of the parable, the Lord says something else. This is how you'll bear fruit, if you understand it. The stone, which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. I spoke about this last night. This is in a hymn that we sing all the time in the church. You should know where it is. Some of you don't experience it because you don't come to this service. You'll bear more fruit if you come to this service more regularly and hear this hymn. Do you understand what this means? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Do you know what the stone is? The stone is Jesus Christ. The builders, that is, the people that Jesus came to, the majority of the Jews, not all of them by any means, they rejected him. And yet that stone has become the head of the corner, the cornerstone, the strongest stone in the building. Now, there is another place where Jesus quotes this, and then he says, whomsoever this shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but he on whom the stone shall fall shall be ground to powder. Do you know what that means? You'd have to have some knowledge of the scriptures and the customs of the Jews to understand what Jesus is saying, because Jesus, as a Jew, was speaking to the Jews, and they understood this idiom, because when a Jew was stoned, like for adultery or some other thing, he was placed underneath a tower, or perhaps a hill, and a large stone was taken and was thrown on top of him, so it would crush him, grind him to powder. That was basically stoning, and if the person didn't die from that immediate assault, then they would throw smaller stones until he was dead. So the stone would fall upon them. But this stone is Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is not going around murdering people. But I'll tell you, there's only one choice in the world. And that is to choose Christ or not. So perhaps you'd call that two choices. There's only two ways to go. To choose Christ or not choose Christ. To fall upon the stone or to have the stone fall upon you. And it's quite interesting that he said this in context of this parable. Because there were Jews that were going to reject Christ and the stone was going to fall upon them and crush them to powder. And actually, quite literally, what is it, 70 years later, perhaps, the whole temple was going to be razed to the ground by the Romans. But this is speaking mostly about ourselves. The stone, when it falls upon us, grinds us to powder. But if we fall upon it, we're broken. Now, to people, especially modern-day people who don't like to suffer, who think that it's a horrible thing if it's 92 degrees outside and their air conditioning's not working, we're so soft. We don't like suffering. So the idea of falling upon a stone and being broken, now that's not the kind of Christianity that's taught in the Astrodome, the former Astrodome. In places like that, somebody smiles, a little painted-on smile, and says, you're supposed to be rich. You're supposed to be happy. God wants you to be happy in a worldly sense. And people flock to these places because they want to hear that. That's not Christianity. Christianity is the fall upon the stone. It's not a message that perhaps some of you don't like this message. I'll tell you honestly, I love this message. And I'll tell you why. Because there's stuff in me I want to get rid of. There's darkness in me that I don't like. And I've told you many times, every single one of you here, I hope that you feel that too. I hope there's a deep dissatisfaction in your feeling about the kind of person you are. I don't mean that you have some sort of loathing of yourself or poor self-image. That's all just psychobabble of our current age. I want you to have a realistic view of yourself. Yeah, you do good things, but there's also stuff in you that's not right. You're like St. Paul and says, that which I would do, I don't do, and that which I would not do, I do. That junk in your heart. I want to be rid of it all. There's no way to be rid of it except to be broken. It won't happen unless you're broken, unless you fall upon the stone, unless you fall upon Christ. So that's why it's a good message to me, because I want to be rid of it all. I don't want any darkness in me. I'm tired of the darkness. I'm tired of the passions and sins. I don't want them. And as your pastor, I don't want you to want them. I want you to want to be broken so that God would rebuild you. And the reason why we fall upon the stone is to be rid of our passions so that we can bear fruit. Because the Christian life is the bearing of fruit. It's not just going day to day and surfing the internet and watching cable TV and doing whatever. The Christian life is the bearing of fruit. This parable makes that quite clear. We are to bear fruit. God sows in our vineyard that which will bear fruit by baptism and then by all the grace that he gives us through everything, through the Holy Spirit living in our hearts, by the holy mysteries, the Eucharist, which most of us will partake of today, through our brothers and sisters helping us as God gives them inspiration, through the reading of the Scriptures, all the rest. It is so that we would be strong and that our vine would grow and it would bear fruit. And the fruit is, well, the fruit of the Spirit that's talked about in Galatians or in the Beatitudes or just about anywhere else in the Gospel. Peace, love, compassion, humility, and all the rest. That should be your goal. Not just the humdrum, mundane things of life. That should be your goal, to bear fruit and to fall upon this stone. Don't be afraid of being broken. Our society doesn't like it. And I actually think, honestly, as a pastor, part of the reason why the services that are so beautifully penitential and theological and teach us so much and really help us to feel brokenness, the reason why those services are not so well attended, that is matins and vespers, and some of the really penitential services in Great Lent, etc. The reason why I think some of you might not come to them is because they'll break you. You listen to them over and over again and you feel broken. I was just thinking a couple days ago, it might have been yesterday, sometimes time morphs together, when I was praying the Jesus Prayer for some people, I was feeling overwhelmed. I was feeling, I'm always asking God for mercy and I'm always feeling completely incapable, inadequate. Well, that's exactly what I am. I don't like that feeling, but it's good that I have it because that's true. I am inadequate. I am incapable. I am a great sinner. And all I can do is beg God for mercy, but He will give mercy. But you got to get over that feeling of like, I'm not liking it. Just accept reality as it is. And be willing to be broken. And if you're willing to be broken a little bit, then God truly will help you to bear fruit. Absolutely and positively, He will help you to bear fruit. Don't be afraid to fall upon the stone. And by the way, if you don't fall upon the stone, it will fall upon you. And that's not brokenness. That's being completely shattered and ground to powder. That's not salvation. Salvation is to feel our brokenness, to fall upon the stone, for the Lord, with His great love, to be the great physician, to excise the things in us that are tumors and are cancers and are poisons, so that we can be rebuilt, so that we can become fruitful. Don't be afraid of it. Cultivate it. That's why I keep telling you to read the Gospels. Because if you read the Gospels with attention, you will start to get this message. And you might not like it. And there might be times when it's too much for you to read and too much for you to think about because there's just too much to fix. But if you keep reading it and you keep praying and you keep coming to the services, not just liturgy, because liturgy doesn't have this aspect of really brokenness in it as much as the other services do. If you keep doing it, then you start to feel God within you and you start to feel this confidence that even though you're a sinner, you can be justified. That's what happened to the publican, by the way. And the publican and the Pharisee, sometimes we focus on the Pharisee judging the publican and his sins. But the greatest part of that parable is the publican who said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and was looking down, according to Christ, went away justified. Justified doesn't mean that he was just forgiven of his sins. To be justified is to become righteous, to be made righteous. So he went away with a quiet confidence that, you know, even though I'm a terrible sinner and I feel shame for what I have done to women and children and orphans because of my work as a tax collector and stealing from them, I think I can change. I know I can change. That feeling of being broken but also confident, that's Christianity. Our modern-day pseudo-Christianity has no brokenness in it, just confidence. You got to have both. You got to be willing to be broken and be confident. So the purpose of your life, brothers and sisters, is to bear fruit. As you are becoming holy, so that you will be united with God. Don't be afraid to fall upon the stone. Cultivate that and be broken. And then God will help you to be whole. It's the only way to be whole. to fall upon the stone. May God help you to bear fruit. Amen.